You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. It is 7:06 right now, and looking out the windows here at our studio in Madison, some rain coming down in downtown right now, and there's going to be good portions of the state that are going to see some heavier rain this morning, and then some much warmer temperatures as we go. In fact, Yes. We're talking some record-breaking temperatures in portions of the area throughout the weekend. High 60s, low 70s, which is pretty
and
weird for March.
Potentially dangerous weather in southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Moving up pretty big swath of potentially dangerous weather. So everybody will be keeping an eye on that. We're glad you're here. If you want to get involved with the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't forget you can always listen on the Civic Media app. So download that for free, and you can hear us and hear all the other great stations on the Civic Network. So we touched on this at the beginning, the big news out of yesterday, and it's hard because there's a lot of news.
There is.
But the biggest news had to be the firing of Kristi Noem.
Mm-hmm.
The president announced it yesterday afternoon. He also said he is going to nominate Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who is from Oklahoma, to lead Homeland Security. Mullen supposedly will take over at the end of March, pending confirmation by the U.S. Senate, which is,
it's pretty much guaranteed
the rubber
at this
stamp.
Point.
Yeah. Kristi Noem will transition into her new role, Jamie, as special envoy for the Shield of the Americas, a proposed Western Hemisphere security initiative. And then Mark Wayne Mullen is heading Hydra, I think, is how that works.
Well, it is something. I guess that's what we're going to say. I'm not really sure what Kristi Noem's new role is going to be. We know with this president, he doesn't like to admit when things have not gone his way or when he's made a bad decision. So instead of just basically saying, hey, you're not with the administration anymore, we now have the Shield of the Americas that she is going to lead.
Yeah.
Now, according to reports that we were hearing as of yesterday, late last night, Trump actually informed Noem of the decision during a phone call while she was arriving at an event in Nashville. She actually had to still get up and give that long speech, even after she'd been told she'd been sidelined to the Shield of the Americas. Now, in recent, awkward,
just
right?
Say
how
it again
awkward.
For me, will you? Just because it makes me laugh every time I hear it.
The Shield of the Americas. The Shield of the Americas. I feel like we need some sort of shirt. It's like the Avengers merchandise or something.
There will be.
There probably will be, yes. But in recent weeks, we've seen Noem face increasing scrutiny and criticism, not just from the Democrats, but also from the Republicans, including Trump's inner circle. There were questions surrounding the costly DHS advertising campaign, $220 million for that, which prominently
featured
her.
Had you seen those with her riding on the horse?
Yes.
I've only seen the ones where she's threatening people at the airport.
Yes.
And telling them
which was illegal,
be
by the way.
That's whatever.
Yeah,
we parse through
these rules and these laws. It's weird.
Right. But I didn't see the horse riding one. I was like, oh, this girl loves to dress up.
She does. That's one thing that I will say is maybe if you're trying to find any human quality of Kristi Noem based on her actions over the last few weeks, is that granted, I know she's talked about shooting dogs and goats, but she really does love horses. That was a thing. She has a ranch yet in South Dakota where they do raise horses. So she does love
you don't
horses.
Think she's praying for one of them to break a leg so she can put it down?
It's hard to tell with Kristi
Noem. Based on her track record?
It's really hard to tell.
I've asked you this before, and I want to ask you this again because you are, as you've mentioned many times, you're from South Dakota. She, of course, the former governor of South Dakota. When did the transformation of Kristi Noem from just regular Republican who looked like this is no shade, a South Dakota housewife. She looked like a regular woman.
She did.
She just looked like an average mom who was now in politics. When did this weird transformation, because there's nothing about her she's one of those people, and I know we're not supposed to talk about people's looks, but it's when you transform that much.
Right.
And from a distance, you're like, oh, this is attractive. But then the closer the picture gets, the more the face is distorted. It's a weird thing.
She started coming into the local political circle as we were getting ready to leave. I've had several friends in South Dakota who still live there, so I've gotten to track her a little bit more than I probably would, you know, just after leaving a state. It seems like some of the transformation started during Trump's first presidency, especially when he was, especially during the first campaign series of the 2020 elections, when he would be in South Dakota regularly courting the Wisconsin voters. That seems like when when the metamorphosis of Kristi Noem really started. She was also governor at the time, so she had a little bit more prominent role, especially in that campaign. And that was when we started to see her really change who she was from some of those values that in South Dakota got her voted in the first place. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a really great friend who, as a former journalist and a sexual assault victim, actually passed a law through South Dakota called Jolene's Law that needed huge help from Kristi Noem. And Kristi Noem was a great supporter of it, helped pass it, helped get us through the legislature. And that was maybe only 10 years ago. So that tells you kind of when the metamorphosis of Kristi Noem happened. Now, in recent weeks, though, besides that weird DHS advertising campaign, a lot of people started questioning her responses to some of those fatal incidents that involved the federal immigration agents, especially in Minneapolis. There was also allegations about a relationship with Corey Lewandowski, a top advisor to Trump during the first presidency. Now, she has denied all of that. Some Republicans, as senators and officials, though, within DHS, also started raising some concerns about her leadership skills following some of those congressional hearings that took place earlier this week. In fact, reports say that it was after those hearings that Trump himself started reaching out to Republicans asking whether or not they thought she was up for the job. And as you can expect, there's...
Again, it's ruling by consensus. Would this be a popular move for me if I fired her? Should I get rid of her?
Yes.
Do I need to? How about use your own judgment? But he doesn't have it.
Well, I was just going to say, be careful what you wish for.
Never mind.
But a lot of Republicans and Democrats have started weighing in on the removal of Kristi Noem. And we know that J.B. Pritzker has not been a fan of this president, this administration, or many of the ICE actions under Kristi Noem. This is what he had to say yesterday in a recorded message. This is cut three, please.
Hey, Kristi Noem, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Here's your legacy. Corruption and chaos. Parents and children tear gassed. Moms and nurses, U.S. citizens getting shot in the face. Now that you're gone, don't think you get to just walk away. I guarantee you, you will still be held accountable.
Yeah.
I you got to love the fire behind J.B. Pritzker.
Too.
I love J.B. Pritzker's
fire. As opposed to the fire from Chuck Schumer?
Yeah.
Today there's a report of an ICE officer getting his finger.
I'm sorry about that.
No, there that's okay. There we go.
They've been stonewalling us on the most important issues, and those have to change, and they have to change them. We have to change them by legislation, because any one person, I don't trust any one person being in charge of this agency as long as Trump is president, given the policies he's espoused, given how ICE has been structured. The rot is deep.
Did you see the drop-dead look that Chuck Schumer gave that reporter who dared to even try to interrupt with a follow-up question?
Yes.
Ooh, I didn't think the old man had it in him.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say. This is the exact response why a lot of people are upset with the Democratic Party right now. I mean, Kristi Noem has been controversial since the confirmation hearings, and that was really all you could give us as far as, you know, I don't know. It was
no fire.
It was not unexpected, but it's always disappointing to see that type of lackluster response from the Democrats, right? Some Republicans weighed in as well. Senator Joe Kennedy, who questioned Noem just this week during those Senate hearings about that $200 million DHS advertising spending, had this to say about the new nominee. This is cut number five.
The president, when he called me Tuesday night, the night of the hearing, when he was mad as a murder hornet.
Wow.
He asked me what I thought about Mark McClain, and I said, A, I like him. B, he's very smart. C, he's a very good businessman. And D, if I didn't believe the three things I just told you, I'd lie to you because Mark Wayne would whip my ass.
There you go.
Boy, see, and just when I thought, oh, I had to throw a flower John Kennedy's way the other day for his grilling of Kristi Noem, he's back to being on my deplorables
it's
list.
Fine.
So that's good. He brought up Mark Wayne Mullen. Let's get into this real quick because you have to hear some of Mark Wayne in his own words. But he previously served in the House of Representatives from 2013 to 2023. He represents Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District. Then he won the U.S. Senate seat in 2022 in a special election. He is an enrolled member of the Cherokee Nation, became the first tribal citizen to serve in the U.S. Senate in 20 years. Before politics, he ran his family's plumbing business. He took over for it when his dad got sick. He also competed as an undefeated professional mixed martial arts fighter with a 5-0 record, and he went out on top. So,
he's going to be at the America 250 MMA fights
in
August. I just know it. But we want you to hear a little bit of Mark Wayne in his own words. This is cut 6, please.
Today, there's a report of an ICE officer getting his finger bit off, and then unfortunately, a deranged individual that came in to cause max damage with a loaded pistol with an extra mag that was completely loaded was shot and killed. How much more does this got to go on before the Democrat leaders there take responsibility for their words?
That was him right after the killing of Alex Pretty in Minneapolis, because some sources say that one of the reasons Kristi Noem was ousted was for her statement. That was what Mark Wayne had to say about the incident. But this was also him in June of 2025 on NBC's Meet the Press discussing birthright citizenship. This is cut 7, please.
Well, here's what we know. There's a whole industry that stood up to bring people here in their last month of pregnancy to have a child here, and they come here on a vacation visa, and they have a child, so their child will be able to be U.S. citizens. It's a whole industry. You know it, and I know it. What we're trying to do is end those that are gaming the system.
Should
and that's
those
exactly
babies
what's
be deported,
now,
Senator,
it's
with their parents? Are you saying those babies should be deported with their parents?
They should go where their parents are. Why wouldn't you send a child with their parents? I mean, why would you want to separate them? I wouldn't want to be separated from my kid, and no parent should want to be separated from their kids. So if their parents are deported, then the child should most definitely go with the parents.
So that's a little bit of Mark Wayne. He also co-introduced legislation to ban transgender athletes from competing in sports based on gender identity rather than sex at birth. Senate leaders say that they are going to move quickly through his confirmation, which, let's be realistic, not unexpected.
And can we not bypass the fact that in 2023, he got in an argument with the president of the Teamsters during a Senate hearing and threatened to fight him right there in the chambers? The Teamsters president had put a post on Twitter, currently known as X, calling Mullen a fraud and a clown. He wanted to go right now.
Yeah,
let's go. You ready to settle this right? And he started. You love the fact that he took off his rings.
It was ridiculous.
And then Bernie Sanders, frail old Bernie Sanders, had to step in.
Down.
And like, all right, fellas.
DHS.
Remember, you're a senator.
DHS,
you're not the 1% of the 1%.
Is a $65 billion department that does more than just immigration control. FEMA, cybersecurity. Is this the guy that we trust to run it? That's the question, I think.
No, but
here we are.
Welcome to the world.
7:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now, and easily becoming one of our favorite segments because we do get to break out of the bubble. We pop it for just a moment, and we explore something that is not political talk. We explore a little bit of what else is happening in the world with our senior producer, Frank. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. Hope you guys are also having a good start to your mornings. I know it's raining out in Madison pretty hard, so...
Yeah.
These guys are dry.
We're inside for, it was funny because when I was coming in today, there's always a crew of construction workers as they're doing some work in downtown Madison. And they were like, oh, it's going to be raining all day today. No, not whistling. No, they're actually very courteous and kind. They always make sure I get in the door, in fact, in the parking garage. Good, yes, they're fantastic. But I was listening to them bemoan the fact that the weather was going to be awful today, and they were preparing for that, getting all their rain gear. So if you do have to work outside, we're thinking about you, because it really does look miserable right now. It really does. My goodness. But we have to talk pop culture. Yes, we do. So what do you got for us?
Yep. Swiper say, if you haven't heard before, I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether or not they're going to swipe and move on to the next one or stay on it and hear more about it. Mm-hmm. In the event of a tie, Parker will be the tiebreaker. Let's move on to story number one. A pop star is in DUI trouble.
Oh, I know this story.
Oh, I know this one too.
Stay.
I don't like to pile on, but let's stay.
Yeah.
Let's stay.
All right, we're staying on this one. It just keeps getting worse for Miss Britney Spears.
I know. Mm.
Yeah.
Who could have saw this coming? She was pulled over and arrested for a DUI on Wednesday close to her home in California. TMZ has learned that she actually fired her sobriety coaches and a couple of security guards weeks ago. So again, who could have seen this coming? Everybody. Also, one of the people, do you remember the whole like free Britney?
Free Britney,
Free Britney, and everybody was on board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was one social media influencer who really contributed to a lot of those videos and the movement. And
was that the crying guy? No. Oh, sorry.
No, that was years ago. That was Leave Britney Alone. That was
That's true. Yes.
So one of the ladies who's made TikToks and social media content saying, you know, to help end her conservatorship, has come out and said, yeah, that might have been a bad idea.
Yeah. There might have been a reason her family was trying to protect her. I think there were probably better ways to do it, but sometimes they know a little bit more than the outside world.
Do you think the family has like a I told you so moment right now going?
I think you have to, don't you?
Yeah, at some point it's like you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
And she obviously has a lot of problems and issues and so you it's sad. I miss the dancing in the foyer videos though.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest.
It's still there.
Are they? I don't follow it. It's gotta be
though at this point.
Yeah. It's gotta like, be something really crazy for me to pay attention.
Britney's dancing again. Okay, and not in a good way. Not on stage.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Let's move on. A congressman has admitted to having an affair.
Oh, I know this story too. Who hasn't? I'm gonna swipe.
Yeah, I don't care. I want to get out of politics for this segment.
All right, fine. It was juicy, man.
Oh, hold on. Well, now it's too late.
No, it's gone.
We've swiped it. We swiped it.
An Olympian makes a plea for privacy.
An Olympian makes a plea for privacy.
I'll stay.
Don't most Olympians just, you know, get privacy unintentionally? I'll stay.
Okay.
This one not juicy, Frank. You seem disappointed that we stayed on this one.
No, this is a good one.
All right.
I think he's still salty at us for skipping on the affair. But anyway,
only
go ahead.
A little bit. I mean, it involved arson, but it's fine. We'll just move on.
Stay for the secret show.
Yes, please do.
Alisa Liu took to Instagram pleading for some privacy amid her rise to fame after taking home 2 gold medals at the Olympics. In an Instagram story the other day, she said, "So I land at the airport and there's a crowd waiting at the exit with cameras and things for me to sign. All up in my personal space, someone chased me to my car, bruh." She was the first female to win gold in the figure skating singles category since 2002. Now, I think this is really interesting because when you become an actor or an actress, like a pop star or a rock star, you know what you're getting yourself into, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You, as an Olympic athlete especially, it's a pretty quick jump from, hey, I love to figure skate. I love figure skating. I'm really good at it. And I'm at my local ice arena practicing to, boom, I just won a gold medal, and now I'm on The Tonight Show. And now there's people waiting.
Don't you think for Alyssa Liu, though, too, it's a little different because she did take years off to deal with her own mental health. And so to have people chasing her down in an airport, it just seems a little, I mean, I get it, but it's disrespectful, I think, at some point, too.
There's two sides to it. Yes, I'll agree. It is, as a fan, you need to have some boundaries.
Right.
Yes. These people don't belong to you. You admire what they do. So you have to be respectful. You have to pull back a little bit. But on the other hand, yes, Alyssa Liu took time off for her mental health. I'm glad she's doing better. Mm-hmm. I thought she was incredible at the Olympics. She was fun to watch. She seems like a nice kid. Nobody gets to that level of sport, even if it's amateur sport, without knowing what comes with the success. She's seen enough Olympians before. She knows it. Get somebody with security.
Yeah.
Get Mark Wayne Mullen. He'll fight anybody. Take him with.
He'll just go with you everywhere. It's fine.
If I had to guess, I would assume once the endorsement deals start ringing in, a couple months after, and she finally has like some real money to go along with the fame.
Yeah.
Security guards will be coming. Yeah. Especially if I were her, I'd be doing that.
Yeah of course.
Oh, boy. That was quick today.
Yeah, what's up?
We had a lot of discussion.
I didn't make the clock any faster. I'm sorry.
Secret show on the stream. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll just stop. We'll just let you handle it. No more chit chat from us.
No, absolutely. It is 7:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We'll talk about with Vote Beat.
News, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you are in Madison, listening on WMDX, in Wausau on WXCO, or if you're in Hayward on WBZH, we are glad that you're here. You might be seeing some rain. Tom pointing out over on our text line, Brian, that this is our first major rainstorm of the year, and some areas of the state could potentially see some more severe weather, like not a tornado, not out of the question as far as the weather service set goes.
The whole swath is coming up through the southeast portion of the state, including Madison, so we'll keep an eye on that. When the current legislative session started in January, this was strange. The Senate leaders made an unusual decision. They decided they weren't going to create a committee dedicated to election policy. Now, this is the first time that's happened in about 20 years. The choice has had numerous consequences, not the least of which is that the Senate has taken up a lot fewer election bills than the Assembly this time, and the measures are now stalled and don't look like they can go forward. How is that going to affect Wisconsin and Wisconsin voters? Alexander Schur is here. He joins us now. He's a reporter for Vote Beat Wisconsin. He previously covered politics, policy, and the fallout of the 2020 presidential election for the Wisconsin State Journal. VoteBeat.org is their website. Alex, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with this. What's the job of the Election Policy Committee, and why is it an important part of the business of the Assembly?
Yes, I mean, generally, the committee chair is not only choosing what bills to hold a hearing for and when and how to pass bills, but they're also coordinating with the many election stakeholders from, you know, clerks, nonprofit voting groups, other states. They're really just the point person. If clerks have a concern, if an advocacy group wants a law to change, or if they have a concern about a bill, in the Assembly, there's one person to go to. There's a couple people to go to at this point. But you go to the chair and you go to the vice chair of the committee. The current vice chair, Scott Krug, is unusually active on election bills just because he used to be the chair and has a real passion for it. But given the Senate's choice not to have an election committee, there's not a clear point person is what I'm hearing from election stakeholders.
Alex, do we know after 20 years of having, you know, this dedicated committee, do we know at this point why this particular decision was made this time around?
No, I've not exactly, except I heard through the grapevine, not from, official didn't get official word, but heard through the grapevine no one wanted to be that single point person. So that's possibly it. But again, this is sort of conjecture that I've heard people put out there. And, you know, I'm not sure if they know, but there's what I heard in at the beginning of last year was, well, it could go to this committee or this committee. And folks were like, well, that's not great, but you know, as long as it works, it works. I think at this point, it's an open question whether it works. Some people just think this dynamic is not.
Well, let's judge if it's working by the numbers. And what are they? So how many fewer election bills has the Senate taken up than the Assembly this session, and compare that to previous sessions?
Yeah, so half as many is the answer. And the Senate is still in session, so they still theoretically could pass more bills. But the Assembly has passed 18, or at least had a public hearing for 18 bills. And in the Senate, it's 9. And again, those 9 are in different committees. And I think the interesting thing there is there's not a clear election agenda in the Senate. It's not, you can't look at the bills that pass versus the ones that don't and see a through line of, oh, okay, we get what they're doing here. It just seems sort of random, some Senate bills that were a priority of some members in the Senate, required early in-person voting hours, haven't passed the chamber, haven't got past a public hearing. So
we're talking with Alex Scherr. He's a reporter at VoteBeat, votebeat.org, if you want to check out his work. So you mentioned the fact that we've established that this is the first time in 20 years that nobody really wanted to be the point person. So where are these election bills going right now? What is their actual process for moving them through or to actually having any sort of committee on them?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a government operations committee. That's where some of the bills go. There's a local government committee. That's where some of the bills go. I mean, most of them are just not going anywhere. A couple have passed. Actually, a couple of days ago, the Senate held a executive session, or the committee held an executive session, essentially passing the bill from the committee to the floor on one election bill. But again, there's just no, in the Assembly, it's clear where a bill is going to be, how it's going to pass, when it's going to pass. And in the Senate, it seems more random. So, I mean, the other somewhat notable thing that, you know, Senate could make up some ground for is they're still in session while the Assembly isn't. So they could still pass bills. The catch is if they amend any of the bills, well, the Assembly is not there to sign off on that.
So local election clerks say that some of these stall bills could actually make their jobs easier, including proposals to track absentee ballots and improve the voter records. What are you hearing from clerks about some of that slowdown and, you know, how they proceed in what is going to be a very busy election cycle for the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think for better or worse, to some extent, they're used to this in some way. I mean, for all that the Assembly has done, I think one of the most notable things about this legislative session is this really high priority bill to allow clerks to begin processing ballots on Monday, called the Monday Count Bill, hasn't even been written this legislative session, much less passed in any chamber. In past sessions, the same bill has, maybe it would pass one house and get stalled in another, or it would always appear like somewhat close to passing. And, you know, clerks and some legislators say, well, you know, next session is a session, this happens. And here it didn't even pass. So, I mean, I think in terms of significant bills not passing, that's at the top of it. And clerks really want it. And, you know, this is a dynamic that they have become used to it. They've been wanting this bill for many sessions. But in terms of, you know, the current bills that are written and not passing, I think for the most part, clerks are extending that philosophy they have about, okay, it is what it is, to this. I mean, they're used to lawsuits dictating how they do their jobs and the legislature sometimes, but not always, listening to their, you know, their needs. Mm-hmm. So,
Alex, before we let you go, one last question. There seems to be not complete support amongst the Republicans for not having this committee. Some are defending it, some are not. What's the main arguments from the Republicans that are saying, hey, this wasn't a good idea?
Again, it's just easier to have that point person, someone to coordinate with. If, you know, say you talk to all the stakeholders, you agree on the conditions of the bill. All that happens in the assembly among stakeholders, but it doesn't include the Senate lead on this proposal. Well, you know, then the Senate could do whatever they want. And it's just easier having everyone in the same room. But if you don't know who that person is in the Senate, it's just going to trip things up.
Yeah, that was Alex Scher. He is a reporter over at VoteBeat. And if you want to check out more of his work, we would love for you to do that. It is votebeat.org. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning and explaining some of this important issue on elections here in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you and have a great weekend. Brian,
thanks, Alex.
We know that voting in Wisconsin has been hard-pressed over the years, right? We know that
everywhere, Wisconsin is not unique, but it is definitely an issue at every election.
And I mean, I think that's the biggest question. Why do we want to make it harder in this state? I mean, not having an elections committee seems silly to me because of the fact that we do need to open up voting rights in this state. We do have things like gerrymandering. We have all of these bills that are being passed on the federal level. And, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, we talk about the drop boxes all of the time. And we do have four elections. One is already passed in this state. We have three more coming up. So why are we not passing more bills to open up voting and make it easier? It's a democratic right. It's how people voice their decisions and shape their communities, their schools, their taxes, their future. And instead, we're just bogging it down even more and making it more difficult.
Well, that's the answer is the infuriating part of all of this. And that's what I want to hear from you at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Does it make you mad that just because nobody wanted to be on the committee, that the Senate is not doing their job? That's unacceptable.
It is
should be unacceptable to every voter. It should be unacceptable to other members of the Senate. It should be unacceptable to the governor. You should have to have these committees. You should have to have them staffed. Hey, we've all been on committees where we have to, you know, you're volunteered to be the head of the committee. And is it a hassle? Sure it is. But your job, for the limited amount of time you are in session, they're done March 19th.
Yeah.
Senate is done. The assembly's already gone. The limited amount of time, put up with the hassle for 3 months. Seriously.
I mean,
so that's the bigger issue. Not that we do need all those things you talked about for the votes and for our right to vote. But the fact is, the people we elected aren't doing their jobs.
Yes. And it's interesting because, you know, we all go to work every day, and how many tasks are we asked to do that we just don't really want to? We don't maybe like
all
to do.
Them.
We don't really get that opportunity. Tom from Hartford chiming in saying, lazy? Question mark? I mean, it kind of, I'm not going to deny that doesn't kind of appear to be the case. I mean, for years, we've watched lawmakers in this state and all across the country debate rules about who can vote, how absentee ballots should be processed, how early voting works, when we should start counting, what identification people have to show. And instead of actually putting those things to the test, having those discussions, they're just going to not choose to do their job or have do anything about any of it, and then continue to blame the process, not on the fact that they just chose to not do the job this year, which seems
it's too much of a hassle.
I mean, that seems not
that's in that's a child's excuse. It's too hard. That's not an excuse for elected officials, for adults who supposedly have responsible jobs outside of their roles in the assembly. It does get at some point, you just figuratively want to grab people by the collar and shake them and go, you don't get to say that. This is not, you don't have that choice.
Right. Absolutely. Dean, over on the text line, listening on WCFW 93.5 The Tap, asking who the reporter was. That is Alex Scher. To answer your question, he works at VoteBeat. That is votebeat.org. So if you want to check out more of his work, he does report on a lot of things like elections, what our elected officials are doing, and how they're actually making the voting process easier for all of us, which in this case seems like, I mean, I don't want to say it, but it kind of seems like they don't care if they just don't want to do the job, Brian.
Nobody cares. No.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's nice to be in a job where you could just say that.
I don't care.
I don't care. I'm not doing it.
Oh, it seems hard. I don't want to do that this time around. I'm going to start saying that. It's 7:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Hey, you're going to lose some sleep this weekend, and not for the reasons you think.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:52 right now, and I got to tell you, I'm having a bit of a conundrum. I think I got it figured out. Every computer screen in front of me just wanted to do an update. That was scary.
Oh, my God.
That was a little scary. Like, I got a little clammy and sweaty because I was like, no, no, this is not the opportune time to do
the
so.
Perfect time. The whole system just
we're
said,
good.
No,
we're good.
Done.
We're good,
thanks,
though.
Hal.
I saw those come up instantaneously. I was able to divert those till another time. We're good to go.
Was that Daybreak by Barry Manilow, by the way?
Well, yes, it was.
Oh,
I knew it.
Look at you. Very nicely done, Parker. 7:53 right now. Daybreak for Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. And Brian, we might get are we going to get some extra sleep? Is this the, I never know. Are we springing forward?
This is not the weekend. We are springing forward, Jamie. We are losing sleep. Daylight saving time.
I like the one where I get sleep.
Don't come at me with daylight savings time. That is incorrect. I am a grammar Nazi.
It is saving time.
It is saving time. Yeah, clocks are springing forward. Tomorrow night, Sunday morning, set the clocks before you go to bed Saturday night. That's the best way to ensure that you're not late for things on Sunday, unless you don't have anything to do on Sunday. Then put the clocks under the bed and get them Sunday night before you go to work on Monday. Because, yes, it starts tomorrow. That's, you know... Daylight saving. Here's the. Can I? Let's dispel a myth, can
okay.
we?
Yes,
about
please.
Daylight saving time, because there was something. It's a common misconception that it had to do with farmers. Everything gets blamed on the farmers,
right?
You know, high grocery prices. Blame the farmers. Is that blame the daylight saving time? Blame the farmers. So it was supposedly it was so that farmers would have more time to work in the fields, but. It has nothing to do with that. The agriculture industry is actually fervently opposed. That means they really don't like it to daylight saving time. That, according to the Library of Congress, which I'm sure is full of woke books that are full of disinformation. But for now, the Library of Congress still has a lot of good information in it.
They do.
So it starts, clocks will jump forward about between 2 and 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, meaning that we're going to have more light in the evening, less light in the morning. But we ask this every year, and you can answer it now. Should we get rid of daylight saving time? It's a simple question, yes or no.
Right.
Let us know at 855-75-CIVIC. We'll all be tired on, you know, because you know this, Jamie, sleep experts. What do they have to say about this? They don't like it, right?
Well, no. And in fact, it actually messes with the body's internal clock, right? When you're messing with the time like that. Because the American Academy of Sleep Medicine said that the United States should eliminate seasonal time changes in favor of a national fixed year-round time because it disrupts the circadian rhythms of the human body, and the abrupt time change has been linked to things like a higher risk of mood disorders and heart diseases, according to the organization. Because, again, just like the Library of Congress, they might be too woke and not actually know anything. Kidding,
well,
of course.
Listen, you know how I feel about people saying things are woke. And I don't think this is woke. I'm confused. And this is a me problem, not an Academy of Sleep, American Academy of Sleep. It's an hour. It's not like jet lag where it's 5, 6, 7 hours. It's an hour. You could Couldn't you just remedy this by going to bed an hour earlier Saturday night or sleeping an hour later on Sunday?
You could. Essentially.
I don't know how people say they're so messed up from the time change. I'm like,
I don't get
you must get a lot of sleep because I don't have that kind of reaction because, again, 60 minutes.
Right. I don't get messed up from the time change itself. I get messed up from the fact that depending on the schedule, which obviously we go to bed a little bit earlier and we get up a lot earlier than a lot of people because of our hours, I get messed up when it's just like the daylight thing. If there's just a little bit of light, my body's like, nah, I can't. I'm not going to bed right now. I remember when I worked in TV way back in the day, I did the morning shift, which means I went in at 1 a.m. And so I was trying to go to bed when it was like 4 in the afternoon. And that was one of those things where, for me personally, I'm a little sensitive to those things. I know not everybody is, but I am very sensitive to just the adjustment of the light and things like that. Alicia saying to get rid of daylight saving time completely over on our social media conversations.
But then Tom in Hartford comes in on the text line. My vote is hold the line on daylight saving time year round, meaning more evening sun all year. So that's the thing. And I get you. And you hear third shifters have a big problem with their internal clock. And when I worked overnights, it was the same way. And it will be hard now getting up early.
Yes.
Just because I want to stay up when it's
right.
light out late at night. I want to be out on the deck. I want to be outside, but I have to do that. John in Oshkosh says time change is annoying, but not the end of the world. Trump is working on that one just fine.
That's right.
Touche, John. Very nice. Very nicely done. The only person whose internal clock not affected by this, interestingly enough, Flava Flav. Because his clock's on the outside.
His clock's on the outside. Yeah. Now, here's the other thing that I found just annoying about the time change.
Is the fact that
wow. My dog does not have an internal clock, and so her hours are always going to be her hours, so that just gets annoying. Tiffany in River Falls chiming in, listening on 93.5 The Tap, says, death to daylight savings make standard permanent. Daylight saving all year long means sunrise close to 9 a.m. in the winter. Hawaii and most of Arizona, by the way, the only two states that do not observe daylight saving time. They remain on the standard time year round, just in case anybody's wondering. Tom says that I'm sensitive. You're right. I am sensitive.
Jamie's got a lot going on in her brain. She doesn't have time to deal with having to also change her
circadian rhythms. No, forget it. I have stuff to do.
I can't wait. I'm going out tonight to show off my circadian rhythms. Maybe a little mambo.
Wow.
Parker,
I don't
listen,
even know what to do with that.
We got to take some joy when we can. Because guess what? We're going right back into horror stories about more Wisconsinite losing their health insurance. So if I have to dance for 10 seconds, are you not entertained?
We're always entertained. Always entertained. 7:59 right now. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.